Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Please be advised that Little Miss Recap contains adult language.
Hi everyone, welcome to Little Miss Recap, the podcast where we don't want the law involved in our town. You keep the law out of here.
We do what we want in
Virgin
River.
We do what we want. We make our own rules. This was real Ted Cruz, Fountainhead, Texas, you know, real, what is the word I'm looking for here?
I don't know that there's a word that's not going to get me canceled, so I'm not saying anything.
Independent.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is the word? Hold on. I have libertarian. Libertarian.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
This is some real libertarian shit here.
Oh, it's fucking bonkers.
Yeah. It's like, keep your law hands off my baby.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically what it is.
Off anybody's baby because, you know.
But you know what? There's part of me that I'm kind of like, I get it.
100%. I'm like, damn, how many times would I have loved to have dropped my kids off at a fire station for a couple of hours?
I get that part, but I'm teasing, bring in an outside agency. We'll just handle this inside. That a little bit.
Yeah, totally. I'm also just saying it would be nice to be able to have just been able to drop those kids off somewhere and just disappear for a little while, knowing that somebody was going to step up until you decided to come back.
I went back and forth on, I really want that little baby.
Yeah.
And then I would hear it cry and I'd be like,
oh my
God. But then I would really want it again when I saw, because I love babies. Love babies.
It's so funny that you're saying this because when I was watching it, I was actually laying on the couch with the dogs. And every time the baby cried, the dogs would be like, peek right. And I'm like, I know, guys, I hate it too.
So when my girls were babies, we lived in our old house, which was set up real weird. It was built on the side of a mountain. Mm-hmm. So like they were on the third floor and I was on the first. So they were two floors away from me. So I had to have the baby monitor. I could not hear them otherwise.
But you remember that when my boys were babies, they were on the third floor too, remember?
Mm-hmm. So I bought this baby monitor that wasn't like a consistent hum, but it would kick on when they would cry.
Oh, yeah. And the sound of it would trigger anxiety.
So now the sound of it still triggers. Like if I hear a certain white noise frequency, I'm like, I just get all stiff. Like,
I know you instantly become into like that like mode of like, oh God, no, don't make a sound. Please. Yeah,
I don't think I slept for like
3 years. I know.
Yeah.
I know,
it was bad. It was crazy. All right, so we're talking Virgin River, but I do need to address with you. Did you see the evidence dropped about Cam Mastin?
I sure did.
Guys, I'll put a timestamp here. We're going to chat about this for a few minutes. He is a cold, calculating sociopath.
I owe everyone an apology, apology, and you're getting it because I said I would eat crow. I'm literally eating it right now.
I am stunned that I actually got this right, because I know. Am a terrible judge of character.
I know.
I think David Koresh is cute. I would go right into his cult. Like, I'm just terrible at that kind of stuff. And there's something. So when Kevin Frazier said to him on the reunion, when he said to him, "Are you okay? I want to make sure you don't get worked up." And he looked
that with like that smug smirk.
He was like, "I'll be fine." Mm-hmm. And then just reading the language he uses in the text messages.
I know.
This guy is cold and calculating, and frankly, I'm terrified of him.
I know, and I so wanted to be right about him. I gave him the benefit of all the doubts.
You did. And I understand what you were reacting to, because he was putting the show.
Yeah. And the other thing too, though, this also shone
sure.
a light on Claire's kind of a piece of shit too, because she was also going along with it.
Right, but I go back and forth on her, because she was going along with it, but I read the messages from his ex-girlfriend, and she was saying, like, he is such a sociopath and a manipulator that you almost don't know how to react to him.
That's bad.
So when Claire was saying things in the text messages, like, because he's like, "I formulated a plan." I don't know how he talks. Claire was saying things like, "Yeah, I hear you. Like, what is your plan?" Like, it seemed like she was just kind of rolling with it.
I don't know.
And he was like, "I want to burn things down." Can you say, "I want to burn things down"?
I want to burn things down.
With my ticker.
With my ticker. Here's a question I have, though. And okay. I'm being serious. And this is going to sound real, real lame. Okay. But if you were in this situation, at what point would you not, like, I would have been the person running to the experts being like, he's fake. Like, why was no one doing that? This is the part that I don't understand.
I think they were all afraid of their, I think we have been manipulated as fuck by all of them.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know. I don't, at this point, up is down, down is up, dogs are fucking cats. I don't know what's happening here.
I don't know
what's happening.
Me too.
It has sort of like tainted my view of the show.
Mine too.
Like, I'm just like, that felt like a huge waste of my fucking time.
And we put a lot of fucking time into this bullshit.
Yes, we did.
I know. And I feel like duped.
I feel duped.
Yeah. Really duped. But I that is a real, like, a blaring fucking question that I have is why, like, if you legitimately went on the show to be married, at what point would you not have gone to producers or the experts or anyone that would listen and be like, this person is not here? Like, why were they not made aware? Like, that's the part that's so confusing for me. Like, I would have been little sistering my way right to the experts to tattle. Like, I don't know.
The only thing I'm wondering is there a world in which Claire is like, I'm too humiliated to sit in front of America on camera and say he wanted tall and slender and that wasn't me.
But like, all is four that
humiliating?
Of them? But all four of them?
Yeah,
they
I don't know.
They all did it.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
They all did it until Becca didn't.
Right.
But Becca stopped doing it at some point.
What I'm saying, though, is like, I'm not just saying like Claire. Like, specifically, I mean like Emily too. I don't understand why they were not going to the experts and being like, something's wrong.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see next week to see what Castor Pal and Pep have to say about this.
Me too.
And Pia, I feel like saw through this. So this will be real interesting.
I know. And it's funny because remember, I didn't have a whole lot of faith in Pia. And now she's like the cheese stands alone. Truly.
Pia, I want to see Pia stand up and turn to Castor Pal and Pep.
Punch him in the face.
Give me your licenses right now. Give them to me because I own them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to see happen.
I own your asses.
Yeah,
truly.
I want to see that happen.
Yep. I know.
Okay, that's enough with maths talk. Let's move on to the main event. What are we here for? We are here for Virgin River, Season 1, Episode 2, Lost. I know a lot of the backdoor friends started watching Virgin River for this recap. I really am interested to hear what they're thinking.
Me too. Mm-hmm. I hope they're watching because it's
a lot of them said they were going to watch.
They better be.
I just, guys, please. Hang in there. Gets better. Hang in there.
You guys, it gets so fucking good.
It gets, I mean, there's a fucking cupcake truck.
You really? Guys, there's a drug Nana. Hang in there.
There's a drug Nana.
I mean.
Quote Maya Angelou.
I like get giddy over this shit.
Again, I want to remind everyone this is a rewatch. There are some things that come up in this that we have to be careful not to spoil what we know.
I know.
So we will do our best to not spoil major plot points, but just know that we can't always guarantee that something's not going to come flying out of our mouths.
I'll try real hard because I don't like to be spoiled, so I don't ever want to do that to anybody.
And I spoil you constantly.
Constantly. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
I was born spoiled.
When you saw the mass reunion before me, you were like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, tell me everything. Tell me. Mm-hmm. You're like, no, I'm not going to spoil for you. Yes, spoil it for me. Tell me everything.
And I did.
Because with me, it's I don't have patience.
Okay.
That's my problem. Mm-hmm. I'll still watch it, but I want to know.
Okay. It's weird because sometimes I do and sometimes I don't.
Yeah. Well.
I'm weird.
All right. So we open on Mel and Jack. They're rushing that baby into the clinic. Mm-hmm. And Jack is real intent on gender norming this baby to be a male.
I know.
Yes. He's like, what is this strong lad? Strapping lad? Would it be strapping lad? Strapping boy. What is this strapping boy doing?
Do you think it's because he was like, I mean, the baby wasn't dressed in pink.
Right. It was dressed in neutral colors.
Neutral colors.
Like, why not say the baby?
True. Oh, I know, but that's what I'm saying. But like, clearly it's because it wasn't in pink that he wouldn't call it a girl, which whatever. Did you see how hot he looked holding it though?
He looked real hot. The baby, so cute.
I wrote, baby, so cute.
I want it. Now that will change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did you see its little feet and like the little white booty socks?
I was like, it was adorable, dude. It was adorable. So the baby has a note pinned to her that says, she will be better off with someone else. Please know that I love her and I'm doing this for her.
Mm-hmm.
So they quickly discover this is a girl. Mel takes a little peek under the diaper. Okay. Mel wants to call Doc, but Jack, who seems to know where everyone is in town.
I was thinking the same thing. How did he know?
He goes,
house call?
Yeah, he goes, Doc is on a house call out on Myers Flat and there's no reception there. How do you know this?
I don't know.
What was Jack doing snooping around that clinic at 7 a.m.?
Because I don't know.
Do we think he's stalking Mel?
No.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know.
If I was writing this shit, that would happen. So Mel says.
Shit would be real dark.
Mel says, well, we need to call child services, clearly. And the baby starts crying, and all of a sudden, I don't want it anymore.
Right. My dogs are whining. They're, nervous. Yeah, no. We threw that baby right out the window.
Just then, Doc comes in, and he's like, where did this baby come from? And Mel's like, we got to call social services. No, 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 no. Hands off my liberty.
Yeah.
Get away from me. And he's like, if you don't like it, you get out before I get my fucking gun and shoot you. He did say that.
He did not say that.
But he did say at one point, did he threaten to shoot you again? And Mel's like, not yet.
Not yet.
So
not yet.
The whole town knows he has gun fever.
Oh, it's weird.
So Connie comes running over with diapers and formula. So
how fast did that happen?
This is literally the timeline. Bling, bling. Hey, Connie, it's Jack. First of all, you give Jack a task and he's like, I'm on it. Mm-hmm. I'm on it. That's
we all need a Jack in our life.
So she's like, I need diapers and formula. I'm on it. He calls Connie. Bring, bring. Let's reenact.
All right.
You be Jack. I'll be Connie. Hello?
Connie, it's Jack. We found the baby. It's Jack. Of course.
Where's Doc? Is he at Myers Flat? What time is it?
You need to bring diapers and formula over here. Bye. And then she's at the door.
If you didn't get it from my imitation, Connie's a little bit of a nosy lady. Mm-hmm. She's a little bit of a busybody.
Oh, yeah.
So she comes running over and Connie meets Mel and she's like, wow, you are hot. Jack was right. I could rub up against you, too. Like, Connie owns the general store. She's the town busybody and she is going to activate the Virgin River phone tree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a character in the show, guys. The phone tree. Get used to it.
Yeah.
It's basically like a game of telephone, whatever. Truly. It's not that complex. I don't know why we have to call it something. So Hope and Doc have a fight now. And he says, he's so thrilled that Mel is quitting that he is like a kid counting down to Christmas to get rid of her.
I know.
And Hope's like, you're an asshole. And he goes, mm-hmm. no time for sweet talk, honey. He's real gruff.
He's the worst. I have a question about Hope. Okay. But maybe we'll get there. Don't let me forget. Keep going.
Okay. So Doc doesn't even want to leave this baby with Mel. He doesn't even trust Mel to hold a baby.
I know. Like, come on. Seriously, dude.
She's like, I'm a certified midwife, dude. What are you talking about?
Fuck off.
Now Jack gets a mysterious phone call and he's doing the, okay, okay, yeah, I'll be right over. I'll be right over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, take your bra off and wait in the bed for me. Okay, I'll be right over. Click.
Click.
So we don't know what's going on.
Mm.
So now Hope goes into the clinic and she and Jack have a whisper fight about keeping Mel in Virgin River.
Which and is like, so weird.
I know. He's like, I'll speed up the remodel on the cabin. We want her to stay. We want her to stay. And Hope is like, I'm going to take my time looking for her replacement. Let's make Virgin River a little more attractive. Okay.
I mean, okay.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, you have, let's rehash.
Okay.
We have Hot Jack.
Hot Jack.
Owns a bar that is within walking distance,
mm-hmm.
where there's gourmet food being prepped.
Constantly.
And you're staying in this cabin for free. I would say Virgin River's already pretty attractive.
Have you seen the cabin?
And the other direction is a cupcake truck.
I knew you would be sold in the cupcake truck.
I would have been sold. Truck, but I called it the cupcake truck.
But like, I would have been sold by the fact that they have coffee and I could walk to it and not have to make it myself.
Yes.
That's appealing to me.
Now, later we learn that Jack does have rooms above the bar. I don't know why he doesn't offer her one to stay there. And she has to stay with Nick the Groper.
I didn't understand that either.
Mm-mm. I don't know. Those rooms aren't at play yet. Or Brady's taking one up. I don't really know what's happening. So Mel is rocking the baby and Joey calls her. And she's like, I'm really concerned that you're alone with the baby. And she's like, Mel goes, I put my notice in. As soon as they find my replacement, I'm done. And Joey's like, great, you could come back home. And Mel's like, no, I'm not coming back to L.A. I'm done there. L.A. is a cesspool. I have seen the promised land of Virgin River. I am staying here where I have my liberty and no law and a hot bartender.
I mean, and Mel, is it a question?
Well, then Mel gets a little pissed off at her. And she's like, stop trying to fix my life, bitch.
Yeah, hangs click. Up.
Then we get a flashback. I'll call you. We feel this hard.
My sister feels this way about me every day.
We get a flashback of, see, Jenny doesn't try to fix my life because she doesn't give a shit about it. She's just like, oh, whatever. Your house is burning down? Okay. So we get a flashback of Joey and Mel looking at a photo album and they see their dead sister, Chloe. That's really sad.
That's really sad.
I was like, but things like, took a turn here.
Little Mel didn't even know that Chloe existed, which was super weird.
It was kind of weird. Like, this is a thing with my Graham had like a bunch of miscarriages and never told anybody. Things in the my Graham was born in 1934. That generation kept secrets. It's not common to see it. Like, Mel's parents would probably be our age,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little bit older. It's not that common to see it, but I don't know. Maybe. All right.
So I have a story. So I have a very good friend that I have known for at least 30 years.
It's not me.
It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say who it is. She's not listening, but then that's fine. I just found out like a year ago that she had a brother that died, an older brother. That when he passed away, and he was very young, he was like 7 years old when he passed away.
Oh.
That like her family, like her mom and dad never spoke about ever again because they were so torn up over it that he was never even like never celebrated, never spoke. Like it was like he wasn't there. I know that was like
how,
a coping.
No, that was how people grieved. Yeah. That was very common.
But it's wild to me. I was talking to her about that. I'm like, how – I didn't even know this. Mm-mm. She's like, no, we weren't allowed to talk about it. That's crazy to me.
My mother's father died when she was young. She wasn't super young. She was like 20.
Yeah, but young but it was a young adult.
It was a seminal moment in her life, right? She had just had me. She had Jenny already. Like she was, you know, starting her life. Right. We never were allowed to talk about it. Never talked about it. My grandmother talked about him all the time. My mother, it was like she was made out of glass and we couldn't even speak his name or she would crumble. Like it was so, it was just an unspoken rule in our house that we didn't mention him.
So wild.
Yeah. It's some people just grieve that way. And I think that's less common today. Like
I think even, so too, because of like therapy and stuff. Yeah.
Even going through this with Timmy and with your dad and my gram, like it brings comfort to talk about my gram now.
Me too.
It didn't for like maybe, you know, 3 or 4 months. It was real hard to talk about her. But like, don't you find comfort telling stories about your dad?
Well, I never shut up about my dad, even on this podcast.
Right. And it's like, it's kind of sad, right? Because it's like, if we stop talking about them, then they just go away.
Right. Exactly. Like,
I'm doing the family history right now. And I found that my gram had like an uncle. I think his name was like Bunky or something funny.
My gosh.
Who I never knew existed. My mother never knew existed because he went to California. Like that's what, you know, when you moved away from the family in the 40s, you were dead.
Yeah.
No one ever heard from him again. No one ever talked about him again. Like if I didn't stumble across his birth certificate and
he would never know.
Right. And he's like, he went on to live like a normal life.
Right.
But he just like, who remembers him? Like that always freaks me out. Is
me
the
too.
Who will carry me on? Who will remember
me?
I
know.
So
I don't know.
But I think, you know, we're seeing this kind of, but even Mel with her baby, like she's not talking about any of it.
I know. Real weird. I don't know. Like, I must be a weirdo because I'm somebody that when I'm going through shit, I'll talk to anybody about it.
I do too, but that's not common.
I know. Yeah. It's probably not good either.
Well, I mean, I think in regular doses, it's fine, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, weird.
I think some people have a hard time. There's a certain vulnerability to that. And some people have a hard time being vulnerable. And that's fine.
True.
Hey everyone, stay tuned. Little Miss Recap will be right back after these words.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we get Ricky and Jack. They're cleaning out the cabin. Okay. And they have a lot of work to do on this cabin.
Oh my God.
First of all, they take all the furniture out of it. I'm like, just start a fire. Just light it all on fire right now. Do not even bother. What are you going to power wash that 1970s velour couch?
Please don't.
So Ricky says, guess what? I'm signing up. I'm enlisting. As soon as I graduate, I want to be a Marine like you, Jack.
Because, you know,
Jack's like
superhero.
Jack's like, dude, things aren't like when I was a kid 10 years ago. Like, he's not that much older than Ricky.
I know.
And he's like, you need a degree. And then, you know, they chat a little bit. And finally, Jack's like, okay, you know, fine. If you want to do this, do it. Then Ricky smashes a glass and Jack goes into a flashback.
I know.
Of a war zone. That could be a PTSD response.
Of course.
But we were just like, what?
What? I know.
So then I wrote the worst sentence ever. I wrote, he slugs a swig of his flask. I don't know if that's a real thing.
I mean.
Is he slugging the swig or he's swigging?
He takes a swig.
Thank you. So now Lily swings by the clinic with a bunch of shit for this baby. And Mel's trying to get the baby to feed. And that's a constant theme throughout the whole episode.
Yep,
the
baby won't eat.
Doc, he kind of has an old school approach, which I agree with, is the baby will eat when it's hungry.
I agree with this too.
Yeah.
Because I do want to say I did notice that baby didn't act hungry. Not from what I was seeing. It wasn't acting hungry or crying, really. It kind of wasn't doing anything.
No. I think when you're breastfeeding and getting a baby to latch, that's a whole science and a whole thing. But that's not what was happening here. No. Right. So,
and I also think, not to, sorry, I cut you off. That's good. I also think it's been like 10 minutes.
Right. So maybe they're just trying to get the baby to shut up, which I understand that. So now Connie rushes in. She's like, "You're giving that beautiful baby away. How dare you?"
I know.
And Mel's like, "Look, the state of California says we have to call social services."
Yeah.
Connie's like, "Oh, please, mind your own fucking business," pretty much. Whoa. And Mel is like, "This is my business. She's not a puppy that we can just keep."
Right.
Connie says, "Listen, fucking outsider, keep your, in Virgin River, we take care of our own. Keep your California rules somewhere else."
She's pissed.
You will come to learn in this show, guys, California is like, they just, you know, LA, I should say, because they're in California.
Right.
But they just see Mel as like this, fuck you, go back to LA, go back to the big city.
Yeah.
There's this whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we go over to Jack's bar and it is jam-packed.
Yes.
I didn't even know as many people lived in Virgin River.
I know.
And Preach is not happy because Brady is a terrible waiter, terrible and staff person.
Terrible human.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
How dare you? Now for the misogynistic part of the program.
Oh, great.
Some dude wanders into the clinic and he's like, "Where's Doc?" And his name is Charlie and he doesn't want a female handling his business.
Uh-huh. Sir, he was very old as well. Let's point that out. He wasn't just like this 30-year-old guy. He was older.
So he was probably your dad's generation. Would your dad balk at a female doctor?
No.
Okay. I could see your dad making some inappropriate jokes about it.
Do I have to tell the story about my dad and his oncologist?
Let's not. But
no,
yes.
I mean, I'm just teasing. He would like razz the shit out of her. Like
I could see that.
Yeah, like it was funny.
I could see that.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, he says Charlie was adopted. So he understands that Mel has to do what she has to do. Thanks, dude.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for nothing.
Now, Jack needs therapy because he needs to learn boundaries. He is a fixer and a helper. And now he swings by the bakery truck and he's picking up coffee for Mel.
I know.
So Paige is there. And Jack's like, "What the fuck? Why would a mother give up her baby?" And Paige is like, whoa. Don't judge mothers who give up their kids because I'm going to do it in a couple seasons.
Oh, just did it, Amy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I spoiled. Sorry. I'm not saying how she's giving up a child or even if it's goofball Christopher. So he's like, Paige is like, "Just mind your own business. I don't like the law up in my business. Keep the law out of Virgin River." Now Christopher comes over.
I hate this kid. Why? What is wrong with me that I hate this kid so much? Like, I hate him.
This poor actor is probably like, why do I have to act a fool? Like this character, because now Jack goes, "Hey, Christopher, you know what Preach needs when the restaurant's real busy on Saturday morning? Why don't you come over and help him make pancakes?"
Yeah. What?
Has anyone ever cooked with a child?
Clearly not in Virgin River. No.
No.
It's a nightmare.
No. It's a nightmare.
Keep those little shits out of the kitchen.
There will be hair in your pancakes. I'm just putting that out there.
And like boogers and God only knows what else. No, thank you.
No. Mm-mm.
Ugh.
So Jack brings Mel the coffee and they talk a little bit about Joey being bossy. We learn that Jack has four sisters.
Yes.
Mel, okay, so I have a question for you, okay?
All right.
There is this recurring theme. So the initial conflict at the center of this episode is that Doc wants to find the baby's mother and resolve this personally. Mm-hmm. Mel wants to call child services and obey the law, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why does Doc want to find the mother? The mother clearly doesn't want the child.
I don't understand
either. What is he going to do? Just find her to shame her?
That's the thing. Like, I don't understand either. I really don't. I don't get it.
Like, is he going to try to pressure the mother into taking the baby back?
clearly.
The only thing I could think is maybe he's worried that the mother's in some kind of mental health crisis.
But that's not what he says.
Yeah, and that's not, giving her the baby back isn't going to help that.
No, sir. Clearly, he's never had a baby.
It's just weird.
It's real weird.
We do learn some interesting backstory about Doc here. We learn that he had a big wig job in Seattle at one of the best hospitals out there.
Yep.
And Jack's like, but he gave it all up because, you know, bureaucracy and red tape and the law.
And the paperwork. Fucker.
Jack is a real rule follower. Jack is a Marine. He follows the rules. So he understands why Mel.
But he doesn't follow the rules. He just doesn't follow the rules at all. Right. Right.
So he says, you just have to understand, Mel, you big city slicker, that rules don't always apply. Mm-mm. So he says, here in Virgin River, people depend on each other. That's how we get through.
Yeah. I mean,
now I will say that I live in sort of a small town.
Okay.
And there is a nice sense of community. Like when somebody is, you know, in a situation, we all pull together. We have these little things that like, oh, if you need a hole dug, you call Stanley. Or if you need this, you call Lorraine. Or we do this. Like there is, I love that about where I live.
I love that too. I wish I had that.
It's really kind of cool. Like having lived in a city my whole life, I never had that.
Right.
So it is kind of cool. So I get it to an extent, but you also can't expect medical licensed professionals to not obey the laws. Like she could lose her nursing license over this.
But I don't think like these people don't, I don't think any of them have ever really had to pay a consequence. Like if you think about it.
No.
So it's like this weird little culty town where everybody just covers up for everybody.
This would be like if the backdoor friends took over a town.
Oh my God, that's exactly what it is.
We would just cover up for all of us.
That's actually a really good idea.
So-and-so accidentally murdered the postman. We'll be right over. Yeah. We'll be right over to help
you. I'll be like, Aim, bring my tarp.
Amy's just going to live at the cupcake truck. I'll just be there eating a different flavor cupcake every day.
I'll be the idiot driving, running around, digging ditches.
Christopher is not allowed in the town.
No. Christopher has been banned. No.
Jack's allowed in and Brady.
Brady can stay in your house. That's about it. He's on house arrest. He can't go outside. He's got his ankle bracelet. Can't come off the porch.
So now we get a flashback of Mel and Mark, her husband. They run into one another at a cafe. They discover that they both are runners. So he says, you know, let me show you some trails. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink.
You know what trail he's talking about. The trail to his P in her V. And so now we cut to drug camp. Dun, dun, dun.
I know.
Guys, drug camp is a thing. Okay.
Oh, it's a whole thing. It's like Drug Mountain.
Yes, yes. So it's Doc. He's at drug camp. And he's bringing Jimmy. And some of his pals, some medical supplies. Doc wants to see Maxine, the young pregnant girl that he saw here. A couple weeks ago, Spencer, who's easily bought off by what it looks like a $5 bill, gives up her location right away.
Like, imagine what world are you living in that, like, you are truly running your own community on a mountain with people living in tents.
Oh, I think this happens. I think this is real.
I think it does, too. But I'm just saying, like, it's wild.
This 100% happens in this area of California.
I bet. But like it's such a wild concept to me.
But what I love, what's so funny is, so you have Spencer, okay, who's supposedly the baby daddy, and Jimmy standing all menacing in the background. These two can't act their way out of a paper bag, right?
I know, it's so bad.
And Doc's like, well, Spencer, how much is this information gonna cost me? And Spencer's like, well, I'm not telling you where that girl is. And then, like, Doc starts to put his wallet away. And then Spencer's like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Oh, and Doc literally, like, pulls out five.
Fiver will do. Pack of smokes.
You cannot buy smokes for under $5.
I know.
Do you know cigarettes are, like, $12 or $13 a pack?
It's disgusting.
It's gross.
I hate them anyway. So
yeah. But that's a lot of money.
It's a lot.
Yeah. So of course we get Doc like wandering around looking for this girl, and he learns that she is at a gas station. Mm-hmm. So he's like, okay, I'm going to go to the gas station because I think she's the mother of the baby. Again, I don't know why we're doing this, but whatever. In Clear River, the near neighboring town.
Clear River, yes.
Clear River, Virgin River.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is Virgin River cloudy?
Oh, maybe.
That's what I want to know. Is maybe. The water not safe that you have to go to Clear River?
Do you remember how polluted the Lackawanna River was when we were growing up? Like, we were not allowed near it.
No, because you would come out with something growing out of your forehead.
Yeah, we were not allowed near it.
No.
So in Virgin River, the entire bar, a hush falls over the entire bar as Mel walks in with the baby. Mm-hmm. And Steph, Mel's very tired because she's been a mom for like 5 hours minutes. Now. And she's exhausted. Exhausted.
But okay, go ahead.
Oh, so Hope and Jack are like, you Hope and Jack are grooming the shit out of this girl. It's creepy.
No, it's wild.
They're like, maybe you need to go take a nap, maybe you need to go take a nap. And then I wrote, oh wait, no, she's going to a homemade batting cage that Jack set up
to relax. Amy,
now don't get me wrong, going into the woods with Jack might be relaxing for me in many ways. Mm-hmm. But guys, if you haven't watched this before, a common theme is that Jack has access to all sorts of ambient lighting. And this is just another example. He has these beautiful lights up and they're at this batting cage.
Okay. In the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
So of course we get the obligatory, like, I got to get up on your hips and show you how to bat and grind my choke. Dick into your ass cheeks. Yeah. Mm. So
I mean, I might be all right with that.
They talk about their parents.
My God.
And Mel says she's pretty much an orphan. Her mother died from cancer when she was 11. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason that she's a nurse. And she tells this story, and I was almost crying.
I know.
She tells this story about how when her mom was dying, how she was so scared to say goodbye to her. So she was sitting alone. A nurse came over and comforted her. And she says the nurse helped her get through the hardest day of her life. And she realized that this is what she wanted to do for other people. It's very sweet.
Can I tell you that I had a very similar experience when my dad was in hospice?
With a nurse?
Mm-hmm. I was terrified to go in the room and see my father. I don't know why, because I saw him 5 minutes before we brought him there. But I was truly, truly terrified. And I was so upset.
Yeah.
And this wonderful hospice nurse, like, pulled me aside and, like, she was like, honey, this is your time to be the daughter. You're not mm-hmm. the caregiver anymore. It's okay. Like, mm-hmm. I will forever be – I have no idea who she was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had a very similar wonderful experience in hospice with a nurse.
You know, you just wonder, like, how these people – do this day in and day out.
I know.
Like,
it takes a real special, true soul.
Have hospice nurse backdoor friends out there, we salute you.
Seriously, for yeah. real. Yeah. Absolutely. No joke.
Because they see people at their lowest.
No, and they're literal angels them. On earth sometimes, yeah. truly.
Yep. So Jack is like rocked by this. He's like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So now we see Hope at the clinic and she's rocking the baby in the stroller. And Mel comes in and she's like, oh, you're natural at that baby. And Hope says, nope, not me. I raised husbands, not babies. One was her soulmate. One was the bane of her existence. And one was the best 3 months of her life. Don't say a spoiler.
I'm not. Okay. But this was my question. I completely forgot that she had multiple husbands until I saw this again. Multiple
husbands, yes.
Did you remember this?
I remembered. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I fucking, this is like my fourth time watching it. I was like, oh.
Guys, we just had to cut a big part because Stephanie just said the spoiler out loud. Which I will probably do as well. We have to catch each other when we do that. And
the funny thing is, I didn't even know that I said it. I'm like, what spoiler?
So Lily comes in. Lily, again, coming back with extra clothes. And she volunteers to hold Chloe and take care of her. And she's like taken care of, and Mel steps out and calls social services. Mm-hmm. At the bar, Brady is like, look, Jack, I don't want to wait tables, man. I'm done with this. I want to get on my motorcycle. I want to bang Amy Archer. I want to do the things in life I want
to
do.
Yeah. I mean, working is just not what he wants to do. Mm-mm. He's not an honest working man now.
He leaves
And Preach is a real asshole about the whole situation.
Amy, newsflash. Backdoor friends. Preach is just a fucking asshole.
He's an asshole.
I fucking hate Preacher.
So, I mean, he's good to look at, but his personality is in the toilet.
Yeah, that's it. So, take your shirt off and just stand in a corner.
So Jack is like, ease off, dude. Like, he's just trying to make a fresh start. I'm trying to help him out. And Preach is like, how many times can one person start over? How about however many times they want, takes. Preach? That's called the human condition.
Yeah, he's a real dick.
Now Jack gets another mysterious phone call. He's like, hello. Yeah. No, I got the condoms. I'll be over to bang it. Just lay on the bed and get ready for me. I'll put the P in the V. Okay, bye. Now Doc and... Love you. Doc and Mel chat, and he's thinking maybe the girl from the pot camp is the mom. And I again wrote, why are they trying to find the mom? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So Mel tells him, guess what? I called social services, and Doc freaks the fuck out.
He had no right. He's literally like screaming and pointing.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about being pointed at that
my story about the pointing.
Do I?
So when I was a kid, Jenny used to scorch me in many different ways.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
And one of the ways is she would just point at me and I'm not touching screaming. You? Yeah. No, she would just point from across the room or wherever she was. And she would like do it with the look on her face. Amy, and I would be screaming and crying and freaking out.
Nothing about this surprises me.
I was so easy to manipulate.
There's something so fucking hilarious to me about Jenny. Like, and I don't even know why. She's just the biggest tormentor.
Because she's a torment. It's a dementor from Harry Potter, 100%. So Mel says to him, the baby's welfare is more important than your ego.
Wow.
And he fires her. And this is where Jack says, did he threaten to shoot you? Or somebody says that at some point. Yeah. And she's like, not yet.
Not yet.
So now we see Jack coming home and dun, 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 he's got a girlfriend. And they bang. They bang.
Did you even know that he had a girlfriend? That motherfucker.
Yeah, I did.
Well, now, but I'm just pretending we didn't see it.
So Mel heads back to the clinic and she finds Lily like very peacefully feeding Chloe. And she realizes in that moment that Lily is the baby's mother.
Well, she sees Lily very peacefully breastfeeding the baby. She didn't
breastfeeding her.
Yes, yeah, she did. She had her boob out.
Is she breastfeeding her?
I swear to God, she had her boob out because I was like, oh, she's got nice boobies.
I need to look it up. Hold on. Because that changes things.
Amy, I swear to God, she was breastfeeding. No, oh, my God. Did I just make that? I'm never right. I probably just made that up.
Guys, we're back. She indeed had the boob out.
She did.
She was breastfeeding.
It was a nice one.
I know. Okay, I thought she had the bottle in the baby's mouth and it was like, okay, she can feed the baby. Oh.
No, Amy, it was her titty.
Oh, okay.
She was feeding it.
Okay, so no wonder why Mel knew it was her. Because I don't think Lily's just a wet nurse or anything.
No.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Okay.
That's, I was even like, whoa.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So that's the end. Very happy to be back in this little safe space of Virgin River. Loving it.
Our favorite place of all time. It's like a nice little cozy blanket.
It is like a little cozy blanket. Mm-hmm. We forget the world is burning down around us. All right, guys. That's it for us. We'll be back next week with episode 3, which I don't know the title of, but it will be right here. On your favorite radio station, WWVR, Virgin River Radio.
WWVR-FM.
All right, guys. If you haven't already, if you want to support the show, you could sign up for our Patreon, Supercast, or Apple subscriptions, where we cover 90 Day Love in Paradise and Sister Wives, and we're doing some cult docs over there. You can leave us a review if you don't want to join on the paid feed, or you can just share the show. That does some great things as well. I mean, it really does. The more people you tell about Little Miss Recap, the bigger Little Miss Recap gets.
Yep.
So,
mm-hmm.
And we feed off your energy.
We feed off your human friends.
There you go.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Love your bones.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.